manifest our hearts. Move, Lord. We give you permission. We ask you to move by the depth of your spirit. Saturate. May we be marinated. And may your word, the seed of your word, rest and fall on the good soil of our hearts. The noble soil that is ready, Heavenly Father, to accept your word. May it take root and bear fruit to your honor and to your glory. We pray for divine inspiration. We pray for ears that would hear, not just hear, but put into practice what we've heard. In the name, the precious name, the mighty name, the matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. One more time, let's give God a clap offering. Amen. Let's show our appreciation. Amen. For the worship team. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? Can we put our hands together for the ushers? Amen. How many people know we need to have mercy on the ushers? You know, because we need to have mercy on the ushers. Ask me why. Because you know what you and I are like when we walk into a place. Go ahead and be seated. Sometimes I sit back there and I watch the ushers just doing their job, and then I watch you and me come in. And then I check myself, how do I go into a church sometimes? How many people know sometimes we need to have mercy on the ushers? Because you know what we're like. Yeah, we don't mind going to the View Cinema or, you know, to these places where we pay money to go in and then they tell us where to sit. But then when we come to church, some of us don't even pay no money, but we want to sit where we want to sit. And then we're giving the ushers face and attitude. Somebody pray for the ushers this week. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's got to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank God for the ushers. Amen. Tell your neighbor next time, behave yourself next time you come in. I say, don't give my ushers a hard time. Amen. I'm going to read a portion of scripture this morning. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Praise the Lord. Just remind everyone from this month forward until Easter, we're going to have our mega service in Easter. We're going to be producing a prayer pamphlet. Praise the Lord, which you'll get a chance to fill out, and it'll be give you information on how to direct your prayers and your outreach in reaching your family members and your friends and seeing them come to Christ. Praise the Lord, we've used it many times before, and we have seen the fruit of it. Praise the Lord, personally, I've seen family members come to Christ, I've seen friends come to Christ. Praise the Lord. And so we're hoping to have that ready for you next week. And we're also going to have 2 weeks of prayer and fasting during the last week of March and the first week of April. Can you get excited? Praise the Lord. How many people know, you know, we're supposed to be the light of the world? Light is something that's supposed to stand out, not fit in. Oh, praise God. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. So the themes, amen, as the ministers minister throughout this month, they minister what the Lord puts upon their heart. But the context we're going to be moving in is outreach, evangelism, influence, growth, and basically ultimately serving our generation according to the purpose of God. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, the word of God reads like this. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Praise the Lord. So the Apostle Paul is here and he's ministering and he's writing to his son in the faith. And he's writing to you and I. He's writing to the church. And we have to take this personal here because this is personal for you and I. And Paul's life at the moment, he's in prison. He's about to be executed. So he's actually given his last words. Somebody say his last words. His last words for his disciple. He knows Timothy. He believes that Timothy, he knows Timothy is also qualified to address the things in his life. So he's writing to him. I'm not sure if Timothy knew that he was qualified, that he was equipped to address the things in his life. But as far as Paul is concerned, how many people know, as far as God is concerned, he knows that you are qualified and ready to address the issues, amen, and the things in our life. So he writes to Timothy, and Timothy, historians and the Bible will show us that he's kind of predisposed, he has a propensity or his natural leanings, or he's prone or susceptible to timidity. you know, or passivity. There's not really a step out and take it by force person in that regard. But verse five of 2 Timothy chapter 1 says this. Paul begins to write to him, and he says, "Listen, Timothy, man, there's something sincere, there's something real, there's something non-hypocritical about you, and it's your faith. It's your faith." And I know this is the apostle talking. This is somebody that's got experience with God and the things of God. You know, many times we this ain't some, you know, Johnny come lately, hurry go bring prophet, amen, that calls you up and say, "I heard the Lord say this to me and this and that." This is somebody that actually has walked with God, has seen God move and experience God. So he kind of knows when the touch of God is upon somebody's life. Can you say amen? So he says, "Listen, Timothy, your faith is sincere. There's something real about what God is doing in your life. There's something real about that touch of God upon your life. Timothy, I know." He says, "Listen, Timothy, I've been around. I've seen that the same touch of God, the same faith, the same sincere faith was on your grandmother. The same faith, the same touch of God was on your mother. And Timothy, I'm telling you that the same touch of God is on you. It's real." Paul says, "I've managed and I've handled and I've worked with some saints and I've worked with some ain'ts." Come on. So by now, he should be able to tell the difference between somebody that has a touch, a real touch, a real call of God upon their life, as opposed to somebody who hasn't. 1 John chapter 2 verse 19 says that they went out from us to show and to prove that they were never of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But the fact that didn't continue with us proves that, I mean, I don't know, you'll get some people saying, "I got faith in God, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus." But how many people know, so you they've got to stay the course, and sometimes people will breeze in and breeze out. But how many people know, when the faith is real, you stick with it. When it's real, you stick with it. It ain't fake. You know it ain't fake, because sometimes you kind of vacillate and you go to and fro. But you know that if you kind of step back or step to the left or the right, the things that you used to do and you started back doing, you kind of leave you conflicted and feeling wretched. Because how do we know that's real faith? You kind of feel guilty. You kind of feel bad. And so Paul's writing to Timothy, "Listen, I see something about your life that is real. It's God upon your life." Come on, tell your neighbor that God's on your life. It's real. Because I mean, we can doubt our identity sometimes. We can doubt the reality of the call of God. I said the call of God. I mean, no, the call is the call to be something. The call is the call to achieve something. The call is the call to influence something. The call is a call to grow. The call is a call to make a difference. Oh, praise the Lord. There is a call. So Paul begins to write to this Timothy to assure him. Listen, I mean, even though this is Paul's last words, because he's about to be crucified. Not crucified, executed. He's about to be killed. So these are like his final words. And I believe that God has given you and I some final words. That this is the last time, not that you're going to hear it, but that you need to hear it. That's what I'm believing. I believe that some of us today, that in our spirit is ready to say, you know what? After today, I've heard it before, but after today, I don't need to hear it again, because now I've got it. That's what I feel the Lord saying today, that there's some final words coming. This is the last time you're going to hear it. Not because it's the last time you're going to hear it, because it's the last time you're ever going to need to hear it. You're going to get it this time. And it's going to be solidified. It's going to be established in you. And that's that. You don't need to hear it again, because you got it. Somebody say, "I'm going to get it." He says that this thing inside you is real. Now, like we said before, Paul knows Timothy. He's got a bit of history with Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. He knows Timothy's kind of like prone to like being a little bit laid back. Don't mind being, declaring his faith. But it's different living it. How many of you know, even Jesus said in Matthew, he says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. There's gonna be things that wanna frustrate your divine purpose in life and what you're supposed to do and accomplish. But the goes on to say that the violent take it by timidity, by crying, by saying, "Oh, woe is me," by pity parties. No, take it by force. Oh, praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes to Timothy at an earlier date. He says, "Listen, when I left you in Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus." He says, "When I left you for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those whose teaching is contrary to truth." So in other words, he's listening, Timothy, so you can see that Paul has a history of him to always encourage him to that posture of faith that he took up, that posture of belief, that posture of standing his ground until he sees the will of God proved in his life, proved through his life. He said, stay there, don't move. God has positioned you as a proponent of truth. Stay there. So that lies and falsehoods won't make an inroad in that area, in that place. Stay in that family. Stay in that house. Stay in that ministry. Stay on that job. And don't quit. This is not a time to retreat. He says, stay there. I'm encouraging you to stay there. God, there's a grace on your life to make a difference in that place you're in. Keep that posture. Keep that stance. Keep that belief. Stay there. Keep that. Come on, someone. We need to learn how to stay. How to stay put. You were born. God's almost saying, listen, I chose you. Stay there. God, how many people know God chose where you're going to be born? What culture you're going to be born in? I know some people don't like this. And what color skin you were born in? Tell them to stop that bleaching. Some of us don't even want to stay in our body. And then some of us, we don't want to stay in this world. How many people know this ain't time for you to check out? When God wants you, he'll come for you. You ain't got to help God out. But I want to die. I don't want to live here. That's the Timothy. That's the kind of issue Paul's dealing with. that pity party mentality. He said, "No, you stay and do something about the condition of society and the condition of that place you're in." Somebody say, "Stay." Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. When Jesus was crucified and then resurrected, the disciples were told to go to this place and do what? Stay there and wait. Wait for power. This ain't the time to panic. This ain't the time to, just because things are changing and switching around you and this is not a time to lose it. He said, "No, you got to learn how to stay in a place and wait for power from on high. Wait for divine direction. Wait for divine empowerment. Wait for the way forward. Wait for a manifestation of God upon your life. This isn't a time to be impulsive or swayed or moved by circumstances or conditions or changing environments. God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. I like this one. It says, again, Paul is always dealing with this guy. This is like us. But how many people know this is the last time God's going to have to tell us this, eh? He says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in how you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." How many know he's talking about old people and peer pressures? You know, people that we hang on. I'm not talking about old people. How many people know because there's such a thing as peer pressure? And not all peer pressure is bad pressure. Some peers could actually direct us and lead us in the right way. But he's talking about negative peer pressure. You know, he says, just because you're young, don't allow the old people to look down on you. Somebody say old people. He ain't talking about old people. He could be talking about the old you. You know, the old you that is peering into your life. Oh, so this is you now. You know, the old you that wants to say, That ain't the way to do it. The old you that wants to pull you back. I don't even know that the old you can give us peer pressure. We need to learn how to break away from the old. I know that God has given us and made us a new person. Bible talks about throwing off that old man. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that old woman. I ain't telling you go home and throw away the old man. The old woman I'm talking about. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. You know, that old person that we were so entwined and associated with. So all through we see a lot of the theme of Paul's correspondence with this young man was one of encouraging him, challenging him to step up and step out. And to remember his calling is ultimately to make known to his generation the love of God and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe in 2 Timothy 4:12, I believe it says that fulfill your ministry. That of being an evangelist, being someone who communicates the gospel. And people know that is the call. You and I have this mission in life, as well as being blessed, but to be a blessing. You and I have this thing about us. God's put something, the same way he put it in Timothy, he's put something in you, and he's put something in me that gives us this right. I say right. This authority. Because sometimes, when you're a child of God, I don't even know you need to walk with a degree of entitlement. Not what we call beggy. Entitlement. You have sonship. You have authority. You've been sealed. There should be no doubts about who you are and what you are and whose you are. You've got to walk with a sense of entitlement. 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 I'm entitled to walk with my head high and strut and walk up in this place. I am entitled. I don't need to ask permission to step on the devil. I don't need to ask permission to lay hands and believe that someone be healed. I don't need to ask permission to believe for the salvation of my... I'm entitled to it. Oh, praise the Lord. Entitlement. Entitled. I am entitled. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's call it inheritance. You and I can do this. And there's a way to do it. And one of the ways to do it is learning how to leverage the divine power and execute it in the land of the living. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 6 says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and taking every thought captive. I like that. Taking every thought captive. Sometimes, man, you see, there's this thing that you can't be timid. You cannot be passive. You've actually got to put some effort in. Oh, I just can't get these thoughts out of my mind. I keep thinking this way, and now it's got me depressed. It's got me oppressed. It's got me suppressed. And now I can't express. The Bible says, taking every thought. So hang on, but I just want this thing to go away. I can't believe right. It says there's effort. You've got to put effort in. There's actually some force that you have to exert if you want to get lies and deceptions out of your life and out of your heart. If you're struggling believing this, somebody say effort. It's not some that just late anyway. Praise the Lord. For the pulling down of strongholds. Effort, and I like this one, where it goes on to it says verse 5 says casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, to verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know what it says to me? Once I get myself sorted out, I can deal with whatever else is going out around me. Once I get my head right, once I get my heart right, come on. Then I can start dealing with what's going on around me. But what do we try and do most of the time? We want to deal with everything else that's going on around us, and we're not even right. So then you end up going round and round and round. You're out this fire. And as soon as you turn around, there's never fire over here and never fire over there. And you're just living a life of madness. Madness because you keep doing the same thing, getting the same results, and you haven't woken up yet and clocked the pattern. Oh, praise the Lord. But that's another message all in itself. So I'm going to go back to the scripture we started with. So in finance, so Paul is writing to Timothy. And one of the things he says to him is in with finality, because he's believing that now Timothy is going to get it now. He spoke to him before, as we see in 1 Timothy. He spoke to him in another chapter in 1 Timothy. And now he's in 2 Timothy, and he's still speaking to him. And now he's getting ready to die. But somehow I'm just believing that Paul is believing and that God is believing that this time, this final time, he ain't going to need to hear this no more. That this is the final time that this time he's going to get it. And I don't know about you, but this time I'm going to get it. And this time I'm believing that you're going to get it, that something is going to change and shift. And he goes and says, now, Timothy, of all everything in you, says, listen, you got potential, there's dreams, there's divine vision that God has gifted you. God has graced you with the ability. And he says, whatever is, I've made you my child. Amen. I have sealed you with the Holy Ghost. And everything that you need for life and godliness is inside of you. Is inside of you. That's what the word of God says, is inside of you. John chapter 1, he says that he has given you the right and the authority to be a child of God, to walk like one, live like one, execute like one, grow and mature as one. And he says, now you got to stir this up. He ain't saying you got to get something to put inside of you. It's already inside of you. The ability and the capacity is already inside of you. Praise the Lord. I like these kind of messages, you know. You don't get too much shouting or screaming, you know, because everybody knows they've got work to do. Oh, praise the Lord. Everyone, oh, man, I thought it was going to be easy. It's inside of you. Somebody say it's inside of me. You got to stir it. This ain't about getting saved and then we sit on the chair every Sunday and then we wait for somebody to do something, somebody to say something that's going to make us happy and make us jump. Amen. No, when we was out there before we came to Christ, we didn't wait around. we didn't wait around. Amen. In fact, some of us, we sent the devil down to the DSS. We made the devil redundant. We said, devil, don't worry, I got this. Yeah, I know how to get somebody hooked. I know how to make somebody fall. Amen. We put the devil out of business. Oh, you can sit there and look all cute and say, I never done this and I never done that, blah, blah, blah. But we know. We know some of you, man, the party did not start until you got there. In fact, if you weren't there, it weren't in the party. It was just a little sit down. That's what it was. And some of us were loud. Amen. Heaven and hell heard your voice. And when you was ready to cuss and throw down, you didn't care who heard you. Walk down the street cussing, carrying on, kicking up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But all of a sudden now you get Christianized. And nobody can hear you say, peep. You didn't mind cussing bad word in public, in front of the family, skin it. Anyway, some of you skin anyway. Let me know. You know what? Skin that yourself. Let's just go there. Because that's what we used to do. Get on bad, as we say. We didn't care. Now for the Holy Ghost to get you to get out your seat and go and try and encourage somebody and pray for somebody, it takes a whole year of Sundays. Takes a whole year of Sundays. You go in some restaurant, they come down, they put your food on the table and you're looking around to see who's watching you pray. You didn't have no problems cussing at the place prior. Romans 6:13 says this. Listen, it says, no longer present your members as members unto unrighteousness, but now therefore present them as members unto righteousness. Layman's terms. Listen, the same way you used to get down from the devil, switch it and begin to get down for God. The same way you lived your life for the devil. In fact, you should live your life even more so for God. But we'll take the same way to get you started. Man, we used to, man, listen, you and I helped mess up the world.
We did.
We were evangelists, man. You knew how to tell somebody where the good stuff was, where the rave was, who's cute and who ain't cute. Yeah? How to get him and how to get her. Yeah, you knew how to work the system and get three flats all in one go. Yeah. What I'm saying, man, is that it's in you. We had the capacity and the ability, man, to do so much wickedness. Now God's put something new inside of you. He says, stir it up. Don't hang around and wait for something to happen. That seat next to you should speak to you and I and say, stir it up. When you're on the streets and we're walking and we're listening to the news and we're hearing madness and craziness and stabbings and murders and killings and abuse and pillaging, you know, stir it up. Paul writes and says, listen, this is the last time I'm writing to you. He said, listen, stir up that gift inside of you. Stir it up. He says, I know what you're facing. I know what you're looking at. But stir up the gift. It ain't going to happen no ever way unless you stir up the gift. I know the situations around you. I know the circumstances around you. I know what forces you're caught in the middle, but stir it up. I know what mentalities and mindsets are trying to prevail against you, but stir it up. There's something inside of you. You just got to kindle and poke and breathe upon and start to exercise and start to use. Stir it up. Stir it up. Don't keep looking at things outside and say, this ain't going to change. And you know what timidity does? Pity me. That ain't going to happen. And that ain't going to worry about. And then he goes and says, listen, God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity or one that cowards. One of cowardice. Ones that just retreats and has a pity. So has somebody say spirit? And the Greek word there is pneuma, and just in a nutshell, it is the vital component for anything to live or move or breathe. In fact, something that is dead is something that is without a spirit. You and I were formed at the dust of the ground. At the dust of the ground, we were made, and we were formed. The Bible says that God breathed life, and we became nephesh. We became a living being. How even know when you get born again, God gives you a spirit. I don't know what happens to the old spirit. All I know, it gets kicked out. I don't really know, but all I know, I got a new spirit. I said, all I know is that I got a new spirit. I said, all I know is that I got a new spirit. Oh, God bless all five of you. I said, all I know is I got a new spirit. It might not feel like it, and it may not look like it, because I haven't been really exercising it of lately. Hello, somebody. Yeah? But all I know right now is that God's telling me, listen, I got a new spirit. And in a spirit that God's breathed something into my life. God's created something into my life, into my being, into this body, that he's kicked something out and put something new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, and behold, the old has gone, and something new has come. There's something new inside of me now. And it ain't the old spirit that used to cry. It ain't the old spirit that used to think it can't change. It can't get better. It ain't the old spirit that said, I can't be, I can't achieve, or I can't do what the things that God's called me to do. Somebody say, I got a new spirit. I got a new spirit. I've got a new spirit. He says, it's not a spirit of cowardice. It's not one that backs off. It's one that's going to stand up, be counted. One that can be seen. Recognize God. He says that it's a spirit. He says this spirit inhibited in this spirit. It's this spirit. This is the spirit of power. Somebody say power. Power, dunamis, the ability and the capacity. capacity to effect change and transformation, not just of yourself, but of other people. Matthew 28, Jesus said, listen, all power has been given to me. Now, therefore, you go now and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? That God has not just given you power to change your situation and your circumstance, but watch this, he's given you power to touch people's lives, to touch those sons and those daughters' lives that you're raising, to touch your friends' lives, to touch a community, to touch a city, so much so that they get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In other words, they get their own relationship with God, and you're not even needed at some point in that relationship, because all of a sudden, he said, teach them to obey. They're walking with God all by themselves. That's powerful. If you know you got it. You've got that inside of you. You've got that power inside of you. That old man you got at home that you're married to that don't look like he don't want to get saved and he wants to hang out with the devil. And you keep throwing down them magazines and them tapes and dropping hints about Jesus. Come on, them sons and them daughters and that unsaved wife. That family, come on, we've all got somebody that needs a bit of power. And you go home all busted and discombobulated and oppressed, suppressed and depressed, and you look at them and you need to stir at what you got. Fix your attitude, step up and get ready to step out and say, you know what, God didn't give me that kind of spirit that can't do something about this situation or about this society or my community or my household or on my job. God's given you dunamis, a spirit of power. And also he's given you a spirit of love. It ain't a separate spirit. The spirit that he gave you has got all of this in it. Somebody said love. I ain't talking about that squishy, squashy stuff. And butterflies and you can't eat dinner because somebody looked at you. Well, they weren't looking at you. They're looking at something that was on your shoulder, crawling. You thought they was looking at you. I ain't talking about that kind of love when you do for me, I do for you. Oh, you're so nice, you're so kind. I know you're talking about that love when you make me feel so good. I'm talking about the love when they don't do for you and they don't make you feel good. Oh, what kind of love? You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 13, 6 and 7, I think it says that love is patient, love is kind, love endures, love is long-suffering. Love is not holding on to wrongs. It's not rude. It is patient. Somebody said love. Let me tell you something. Love is hard. People say love. You pour these little hearts around there and little blow kisses. That ain't love. That's, I don't know what that is. But I know it ain't that. Real love. Somebody said real love. I wish I could sing. If I could sing, I'd be in trouble every week, boy. If I could only sing. Jeez, I just make noise anyway. Somebody say love. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, the Bible. This is an example of love. And this is what God's calling you and I to do. I believe. No, I don't believe it. I know it. How many know you got to go sometimes graduate from just saying I believe to saying, I know. Because I think there's a difference. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, it tells a story about these four people. And they've got this crippled, this paralytic person that they need to get to Jesus. And so they turn up at the house where Jesus is. I don't even know, it's a roadblock. They can't get in. There's loads of people. They can't get in. They can't get under. So they said they've got him on this stretcher. So the four of them. How many people know that's teamwork? How many people know that's a corporate body working together to effect change? How many people know we've got a society and we've got families that are crippled and paralytic? Amen. How many people know sometimes, man, we talk to them, we do this for them, and they just still can't get up.
and they won't move, and they're not being mobilized, and they won't move towards Jesus. Come on, somebody. And they won't get towards Jesus, and Jesus can't seem to get towards. There's something wrong. How many of you know that's time to realize that, listen, as a team, that we've got a society and we've got a community that we've got to say, listen, you, me, let's get together. Let's put this city on this stretcher, and let's carry this city. Let's carry our families to Jesus. Whatever we got to do, whatever we got to climb, whoever we got to get to him, let's just carry. Somebody said, learn to carry me. Learn, you can't even know we've got to learn how to carry a generation. A generation that can't carry themselves, that can't walk themselves, that can't believe for themselves, that can't talk for themselves, that can't praise for themselves. How many know it takes time to carry people? To carry them, you've got to climb through things, but always looking for, they didn't call me back. Carry them. They're not believing for themselves. They keep talking negativity. I can't be, but carry them. Carry them. They can't believe for themselves, then carry them. You believe for them. You fight for them. You pray for them. You fast for them. You do what you got to do, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it until you lower them down into the presence of God. And Jesus can then look at them and say, listen, your sins are forgiven. Got to learn how to carry a generation. Learn how to carry your household. Carry them kids. Carry that husband. Carry that wife. Carry them brothers and sisters. Carry them. Oh, praise the Lord. They hung on, man. You held that corner, and I hold this corner, and I hold this corner, and you hold that corner, and that, please don't let go. Because if you let go, and then you encourage this person to let go, somebody's gonna fall. Corporate. Body of believers. Man, we had a phenomenal time Friday night. Oh my gosh. Woo! And we were praying for you that you'll get here today. Hallelujah. God answers prayer. Amen. God is good. God's going to get better. Man, heaven fell in this place. There was prophecy. Not that type of, oh, you're going to get a husband. You're going to go. No, there was like, whew, rebuking, correcting. And one of the things God said that is that we've got to stop this church thing. God says, stop this church thing. This church thing. This church. And people know the church thing. Because it's just a thing. If this is your first time in the church, it's not a church thing to you. It's. But for some of us, man, we just been modeling. Ritual, religion. Jamaicans would say poppy show. Yeah, take this thing for poppy show. We're being all biblical. We're Bible people. You know, the Word became flesh. Yeah, okay. You got a big head. You know a few scriptures now. Yeah, the Word became flesh. But they also goes on to say, and dwelt and lived among us. See, the church thing is when the Word becomes flesh. Full stop. But is it being executed? Is it living? Is it become animated and vibrant and alive? Has the Word that's in your flesh began to walk? Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, whoever hears these words of mine, then bless. No. He says, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. See, the Bible goes on to say in John 1, it goes on to say that and we beheld his glory. We saw the goodness of God. We saw the power of God. We all saw it clear. But that is predicated upon somebody living it out. Allowing it to live in them and through them. You want to see the goodness of God in your house, in our community? Then the Word needs to do more than become flesh. It needs to start. We need to give the Word opportunity to live. To live. To become animated. To become alive. Amen? Lastly, I'm going to finish right here. If the keyboardist could come. Praise the Lord, the drummer, the bass player. Amen. Hallelujah. the what do you call them things? The violinist can come. Praise the Lord. The trombone player can come. Hallelujah. I'm speaking faith. I'm looking at you. I need faith to be looking at you and saying all this. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, God is not, Tim said, Timothy, listen. God's given you a spirit of power, love. I mean, maybe love knows how to get down. If there ain't no pain, if there ain't no pain, enjoy it. If it's nice and easy and sweet and you lose your appetite every now and again, enjoy it while it lasts. Because sooner or later, love has to know how to get down. Love has to know how to say, you know what, forgive them because they know not what they do. Love has to know how to say, you know what, my gosh, I've got to climb that on that cross and be nailed to it. And the same cross that I'm being nailed, the person that you're loving is actually doing the nailing. Oh, geez, Lord have mercy. It's all right. People will look at you and say, you're crazy. I'm mad you're mad. You're out of your mind. And that's what the Bible says. It ain't just power he's giving you. It ain't just love he's giving you. But he's giving you a sound mind. Stability. You know what you're about. You're not crazy. Your kids look at you mad and crazy. Your family look at you mad and crazy. And you're giving your money to the... You're giving... What? Man, why are you giving your money to the church, man? You could do like I do and give my money to the gambling then. To Betfair and... Why you could give your money to the off license like I do and to the guy that keeps selling cigarettes. Who's more mad? All we need is... You know what? No. I just use money as an example. Praise the Lord. But we're not going to refuse your money. So you get blessed. Hallelujah. Sound mind. Somebody say, I've got a sound mind. A sound mind. I'm not out of my mind thinking that God's using me to heal right now. I'm not out of my mind. I'm not out of my mind right now that God is using me now to save households and save families and save generations. I'm not out of... Come on, somebody. That's you. Say, I'm not out of my mind. I'm not out of my mind that I'm going to lay hands on some sick people and see them saved. That I have that power right now indwelt in. I'm not out of my mind. I'm not out of my mind to know that some of the words I speak to people are going to be divine seed. As I encourage them, I don't have to look at them get saved now. I'm not going to allow somebody's apparent rejection today to rob me of the revelation that what I've just sowed something that's going to bring a harvest in their life. Are you hearing me? Because some of us, man, God opens the door that no one can shut. And it may appear at times that a man shut the door. And then you get... But and people know you've got to be able to look past what man does. You've got to be able to look past what people do. How people treat you or how you've been. Look past it and believe God. God has set a door before you. A door of opportunity that no one can close. Can't give a testimony. I remember, I may look crazy, but I had a sound mind. I remember when I just about a year after I'd been saved, and I was looking for a job, and the Lord told me, "Yeah, I got a job for you here. This is a job." I was going through the newspaper, and then I felt like a quicken and dash your job. Apply for that job, and I was so excited. I just knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt that's my job. Yeah, that was. Boom, this was God. So I went there and got ready early, because I weren't used to getting places early. I weren't even used to getting places while they're still open. I had to go to places while they were closed, if you know what I mean. But this time, yeah, I got ready, done myself up, got on the train, heading down the city. Singing that, I was singing this song when I was buzzing the Lord, you know, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. For some reason, I had to get stirred up and sing like that. Got on the train, job's mine. Go get there. I've got to get there on time.
train started moving off, and then the train stopped. And the train stopped and stayed stop. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. And stopped, and the clock would keep going. Oh man, I start getting depressed. I start getting fearful. Built myself up for this big breakthrough that God said is going to happen. And the time came, and I was still on the train. And I was ready to cry, man. Seriously, I was ready to cry. This, you know, for me, this was a big thing. This was a job. This is like taking care of, this is like coming off of that and getting onto this and being a bit more independent. Job. And that was it, man. Time went. I sat on this train, and I got ready to get off and just go to the other platform and go home. I don't know, but something just, some spirit moved inside of me. Some violent spirit. That fighting spirit. You know that fighting spirit God's given you? Yeah, the one that you put to bed and you ain't woke up yet. The one that needs to be stirred once again. The one that needs to be woken up. And say, you know what? I ain't taking that. You know, back in the day when you used to cross that line if you're a bad man. You know that one? Or someone says, your mother, you want to fight them. Yeah? Over just, they didn't even say nothing about your mother. They just said, your mother. Yeah? So, that's it. I've missed it. You know what? I kid you not, I went to get off the train. And something just said to me, you know what? I'm getting off. That job's mine. That job is mine. So I stayed on the train. Got there over an hour late. Walked into that place like I was entitled. Like I owned the place. Where's my job? Sorry, Mr. Bragg, but that job's gone. That's no longer there for you. I don't know, but I still had this spirit on me. Looked around and I saw this thing going boop, and there was an even more perfect job for me, and that's the one I got. That's, come on. What I'm saying, don't allow shut doors and discouragement or what takes place in life. When God's called you to grab a hold of something or to reach somebody or to believe for them or gain something, don't let go. You got a spirit. There's a way about you. There's a gift that God's put down in inside of you. Do not be easily, don't be easily or don't be hardly discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Lay hold of things. Storms will come and look like things are blowing and things are crashing down, but still grab a hold of it. Don't let go. Don't let, and God says, listen, this is how real things are with God. He says, listen, I cause all things to work together for good. You know what part about that I like? All things together. I use that happened to you over there, and I use that, and I use that, and I use that. But he says, don't worry, what that's taking place in your life, I use that, and I'll put it all together, and I'll make it work for your good. Come on, go ahead and stand today. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering today. Hallelujah. Let's just lift your hands right now. Begin to, you know what? Begin to pray. Begin to thank God. Thank God for the word that spoke to your life. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Come on.